And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to think about that first Christmas. And then we pray that as we do, you would speak to us and help us to understand Christmas for us today. Amen. Now, I want to start this afternoon with a question. The question is going to come up on the screen, and there's a picture there. What's the picture of? Christmas tree. And what do you think you will find tomorrow? The Christmas tree is possibly a little bit of a clue. Has anybody got any ideas of what they might find in or about the Christmas tree tomorrow? Anybody got any idea at all? It's not a trick question, honestly. Yes. Yes. You'll... Presents. Yes, you'll find presents under the tree. Is anybody else expecting to find presents under the tree? Or near the tree? Or in some way connected to the tree? Yeah, it's what we expect, isn't it? It's what we expect to find at Christmas. On Christmas morning, that's what we hope to find. I can remember, still, it's a long time ago now, I can remember being a small child and looking over, because our presents always used to be put in pillowcases in the hall, and I'd look over at a certain time in the morning and see if the presents had arrived yet. And then I'd go back to bed for another 3 hours and try again at 3:30 in the morning. You know how it goes. You know how it works. But that's what we're expecting to find, isn't it? Tomorrow we're looking forward to Christmas Day. We're looking forward to finding some presents under the tree. And that's the way our Christmas works. And that's fantastic. And there are probably some other things that we're looking forward to about tomorrow, aren't there? Who's looking forward to Christmas dinner? Yeah, none of the adults are eating, but yeah, okay. So if you want to. Who's looking forward to chocolate? Yeah, that's a bit more like it. For any cooks out there, I think you can safely miss the Christmas dinner. Just hand out chocolate. Everyone will be happy. Anybody spending time with family tomorrow looking forward to that? Yeah? We'll take that as a yes. Good. And there's probably some other things as well. And what I want us to do just the next few minutes is to think, well, okay, that's what we're looking forward to about Christmas. We know what we're looking forward to. What about if we went to that first Christmas? What would the people there have found? What would they have found that first Christmas? And we've got four sets of people that we're going to think about. I wonder if you can name them. Can you see from my pictures? Some of them are easy and some of them are a bit harder. So let's start with, who do you think the three people on camels might be? Yes. The three kings. Yeah, that was a good place to start. What about the people looking down on Bethlehem next to the sheep? Yes, they are the shepherds. Okay, the next two get a little bit harder. What about the man who's being visited by an angel? One person on their own. So it's not the shepherds, we've already done those. Who's that? Who gets visited by an angel at Christmas? Yes. That's right, Joseph. Right, now the other one is harder, okay? What's the last picture of? A donkey, thank you. A donkey. And who might be sitting on the donkey? Mary, thank you. Mary sitting on a donkey. So those are four people we're going to think about this afternoon. So let's think about Joseph first of all. Now, Joseph's Christmas does not start well. Because Joseph's Christmas starts by him finding out that the girl, the woman that he's about to marry, that he's betrothed to, which means that it's all planned for them to get married when they're both old enough, the woman that he's about to get married to, he discovers that she is pregnant, and he knows it's not his. So his first Christmas doesn't start terribly well. Okay? He's a little bit discomforted by that, as you can imagine. And that, of course, is why the angel comes to visit Joseph, because the angel comes to reassure Joseph, because Joseph's thinking, look, we're going to have to sort of separate and divorce. This isn't going to work out. But the angel comes, and look what the angel says to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So yes, this child is not Joseph's, but it is God's child, God's son, the father of Jesus Christ, who will be born of Mary. And of course, that's a very odd story to record in a book like the Bible. And one of the reasons why we know it's true is because it's such a strange story that no one would ever invent that. Because that's really not a very comforting thing for Joseph to tell anybody, is it? So here we are. Here we have this first Christmas. Joseph finds comfort He finds comfort in the angelic message. Do you notice that? He finds comfort and peace in a tricky situation. It's there in verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. Now, it's interesting for Joseph, you see, because Joseph and Mary still had quite a lot of stuff to deal with. If we read on through Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, we'll find out about that. This was not going to be something that was going to be easy for either of them, but they found comfort from knowing that this was God's plan, that this was God's choice, and that this was God's way of saving the world. So Joseph finds comfort in a tricky situation. And then, of course, we come to Mary. And it's worth thinking about Mary's first Christmas. So, she's pregnant with this child, and that's all been sorted out with Joseph, which no doubt was a bit of a relief. But then they discover that this child is not going to be born in Nazareth, where they live, in the north, near the Sea of Galilee. No, because there's going to be a census. The Roman governors have decided that they need to know where everybody is. Now, why is it, this is perhaps a question for the grown-ups, why is it that you count people? If you're a government, why do you count people? So you can tax them. That's right, okay? That's why you need to know how many people there are, so you can tax them. That's precisely what this was about in the first century as well. And so everybody had to go to their hometown so that they could be counted and taxed, okay? So you can imagine, here is Mary, clearly quite heavily pregnant, which is why we assume, or we hope, that she was able to travel on a donkey. We don't know that. On her way to Bethlehem. We read about it in Luke's Gospel. And these are familiar words to us, aren't they? So we probably don't notice them that often. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Here is this first Christmas, and there is Mary making this very long journey, more than 100 miles, walking or possibly riding on a donkey, which is not going to be a lot more comfortable if you were heavily pregnant, having to make this journey to a place that, although it was Joseph's hometown, it wasn't really where they lived, it wasn't really where they were from, and wondered what she might find there. And of course, what does she find there? Where do they find to stay? Do they find a nice inn? Comfortable beds, that kind of thing? No. Where do they find to sleep? Where do they end up sleeping? Yes. In a stable, that's right. Somewhere, probably some sort of building attached to another building where the animals were kept overnight. Not quite as nice looking, by the way, as any of our delightful nativity scene stables where it's all very clean and the animals are all freshly washed. Nothing like that. Not exactly the kind of place that you would hope to have a baby. And yet she finds comfort in that unusual situation, doesn't she? She finds shelter in an unlikely place. Verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in an inn. So Joseph finds peace in the midst of a difficult situation. Mary finds shelter in a strange place. They both find comfort in that first Christmas in different ways. And then we come to the two other sets of people we talked about. Who have we got left? We've talked about Mary, we've talked about Joseph. Who do we need to cover? Yes? The shepherds, yeah, is one of them. We've got Jesus born in the manger, well done. And we've got one more set of people, yes? That's right, the kings. Okay, so let's look at the shepherds. What is it that the shepherds find? Look with me at Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Notice the fear of the shepherds, of course. Here is some angels appearing, messengers from God. That's not something we go, "Oh, how lovely." Angels in the Bible are not like the angels that we think about today. They are powerful messengers of God, which people were often very fearful, wondering why it was that God wanted to deal with them so directly. And yet the angel comes with a message of comfort that if they go to this town, they will find a baby in a manger. That's not a normal place to put a baby, by the way. This is the point where I feel like I ought to say, as they do on TV, don't try this at home. Or don't try this in the shed, maybe. That's not a normal place to find a baby. So the shepherds were told, go and find this very humble baby in this very humble place. But that baby is going to be the Christ, the Son of David, the Savior, the one who is going to rescue his people. The shepherds at Christmas, they came to see the Savior. The final set of people, of course, well, it's the wise men. Look at what they were looking for in Matthew chapter 2. Let's just go on to that. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, we remember, of course, don't we, that the wise men came to the wrong place. Because they went to Jerusalem, first of all. But, of course, they went to Jerusalem because they were looking for a king. And normally you find kings in palaces or castles, in capital cities. But no, this king wasn't born in Jerusalem. This king was born in Bethlehem. And so the kings were redirected there. The wise men came and found him. They found the king who they worshipped. Look at Matthew 2 a little bit later on. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Four different people, four different sets of people, each found something slightly different that first Christmas. And maybe that's quite helpful to us as we think about what we are looking for out of this Christmas, beyond the presents and the food and the family and the chocolate and so on and so forth. Maybe we too are looking for what Joseph and Mary found, that we might find comfort and peace and shelter. That we want something a little bit more than just what we have now. Well, if that is the case, if we are looking for something a little bit more, if we're conscious of that need and that desire, well, then we need to follow the example of the shepherds and we need to follow the example of the wise men. For they came to find the one who was the Savior and the King. They came to worship one who was going to put right everything that's wrong in the world. They came to worship the one who came to save his people. Not to save his people from the Romans, not to save his people from their enemies, not to save his people from anything but themselves, to save them and to save us from our own failings, our own weaknesses, our own sin, the things that we do wrong, the things that we know we should do that we don't do. That, of course, is why Jesus Christ came, lived among us, and died for us. And that's what Christmas is all about. How that baby in a manger came and lived among us and died for us and offers to everyone who comes to him peace with God, comfort, shelter, and real life. I pray that over the next few days you will have plenty of time with family. You will have comfort, the comfort of sharing fellowship with other people. I pray that the food, I pray that the turkey is properly cooked. I pray that everything works well. And I do hope that some of you find some of those presents that you're looking for under that tree tomorrow, because otherwise we're going to be in all sorts of trouble, aren't we? But I also pray, most of all, that this time of year, you might find out a little bit more about who Jesus is as you come to him this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, and we pray that we will have a lovely time over the next few days. We thank you for feasting and festivities and family and all the fun that we have, and we pray that you will be with us this Christmas time. Amen.